audience, friends in Radioland. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Wisdom's Talk with Reverend Mordred Nunes. You are listening to Reverend Nunes on the internet at 1350wnlk.com or on radio at WNLK 1350 AM and WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. I am the pastor of Hicksville United Methodist Church, Hicksville, New York. Our website can be found at hicksvilleumc.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/HicksvilleUMC. Wisdom's Talk, where we search the Word of God to find new meaning for our daily lives. The question for us today is, does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? Join me and let's find out together. Stay tuned now, friends. I'll be right back on Wisdom's Talk. Welcome back, friends, to Wisdom's Talk with Pastor Nunes. Wisdom's Talk, we're glad to be back now as we are getting ready to do another teaching on this day. We know we're getting close up to Christmas and folks are busy shopping and having fun and all of that. And some folks are not having fun. You know, there's a lot going on during this time. And certainly we have heard about a new tax plan that has been passed and by the Congress and the Senate and the new administration, the Trump administration. It's going to help, from what we can understand, the top echelon, the millionaires and billionaires, much more than it's going to be helping those who are at the bottom or in the middle. And so we have to pray and seek God's face. I do not believe God is going to leave us abandoned, because God loves his people. And so let us go to the Lord in prayer as we seek God's face. We certainly do need God to be on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, we come before you this day, and we come in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We come, Lord God, and we give you thanks. We thank you for being God all by yourself. You don't need any help to be God. You're God and God alone. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you sit high, but you look low. We thank you, Lord God, that you're with us. Even when it seems as if our backs are up against the wall. Even when we seem and we know that many may lose their health insurance. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, have mercy. Even though we realize and we've been told that many may be worse off than they were when this new tax plan comes in. Even when we have heard, Lord God, that this new tax plan, this new tax overall, plan that has been put forth by the Trump administration, even though we hear that it may not benefit those who are the least among them, even though we hear that over 13 million folks are going to lose health care, and how many 9 million children will lose their health care, God, our hearts are broken. But even when we hear those things, we are still trusting in you, Lord God, trusting in you because you are God, trusting in you because you are a God of justice. And you are going to rain down justice for your people, God, in the name of Jesus. I do not believe, God, that the God I serve, the merciful and awesome and faithful God that we who are believers serve, God, you're going to leave folks without insurance. Those who are now getting insurance under the mandate that was passed by the Obama administration. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we know that nothing is perfect, and it was not perfect, but it helped so many people, the health care that was passed earlier under the Obama administration. And many who could not get health care were able to go and get a checkup and get health care. And so, God, we see that the hand of goodness and mercy has been turned back or tried to be turned back by humanity. But you are a God of mercy, Lord God. You are the only one who can give justice and mercy. You're the only one who can grant mercy, Lord God. So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus this day to have mercy, Lord God, to make a way out of no way, Lord God, to provide for those who are being left out, God. During this season of Christmas that everybody is celebrating, there are many who are sitting worried about what are they going to do next year for health care. What are they going to do for all the other services that are being cut because of this new plan? All the other social services, God, hear from heaven. Hear from your holy place, Lord God. And so I come before you, Lord, humbly beseeching you, and I stand in the gap for those who will be suffering, those who will be losing out, Lord God. I stand in the gap, Lord God, and I seek your face, Lord. He says, if your people are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, and if we would repent of our sins and seek your face and then turn from our wicked ways, then you'll hear from heaven and you'll forgive our sins and you'll bless our land. God, I'm asking you, God, I'm asking you not to turn your back on us. Those of us who are praying and seeking your face and turning from our wicked ways, God, we stand in the gap. We are the remnant of your people, and we pray for our sisters and brothers and children who are now going to be in dire strait here from heaven, God. And during this season of Christmas, we especially lift them up before you, Lord God, as those who have money and who are the millionaires and the billionaires, God, are rejoicing. Remember those who are in the middle class who are going to get caught in this debacle, Lord God. And those who are in the lower class, God, those who are average, hard-working folks who are going to get caught in this debacle, God, you make a way for them, Lord God. You let this injustice stop. It is not too late, God. It's never too late for you. You are an on-time God. And so we come before you this day, and I place all of this in your hands. And I would be remiss if I did not thank you. Thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're doing right now, Lord God, and thank you for what you're yet to do. Thank you for the blessings you're yet to pour down upon us. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your love. And most of all, thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Oh God, and if there's someone who's worried about their health care because they need healing, Lord God, they have health issues, God, I'm asking you to stretch out your hand of healing upon them this day and heal them, Lord God. Heal them physically, heal their bodies and make them well. God, there are folks who need healing in their finances. Oh God, you are our provider. Heal in the name of Jesus, God. Their children who are in need this day, God, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord God. Have thine own way, God Almighty. Take charge, God Almighty. Take charge, Holy Spirit. Take charge of this nation and the leaders of this nation. Oh, when they are unjust, Lord God, when they are unjust, Lord God, bring them to their knees in the name of Jesus. And we'll continue to trust you. We'll continue to kneel before you and to seek your face. And to seek your face, Lord God. And we ask you now to hear from heaven. Hear from your holy place. Hear your people, Lord God, as we cry out to you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who would be born at Christmas so that we may have the hope of eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you were born to die, and you died for us, and then you rose victorious and gave us the hope and the promise of eternal life. Oh, the promise was fulfilled in you, Lord Jesus, and we give you all honor and glory and all praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now, friends, as you listen now to me on Wisdom's Talk, you know, we could get weary. We could get weary when we hear what's going on and how we feel when our hearts are broken for those who are suffering and who will be put upon. Even folks in the middle class who thought they were doing well now will be impacted. But God, you are a God of mercy and you are a God of justice, Lord God. And so, God, we're trusting and depending on you. And friends, you're listening to Wisdom Talk, and I want to go from a teaching today that I think is so appropriate, this teaching, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I'm going to begin by reading from Romans 8, the book of Romans 8, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And I'm going to be reading from verse 31 to verse 39. Okay, verses 31 through 39. And it's subtitled in my Bible, which is, I'm using the NRSV. It says, God's love in Christ Jesus. And now hear the word of the Lord, friends. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised. Who is it at the right hand of God who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Nothing will separate us. Nothing should separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, friends, even though we get weary, and even though we get depressed, nothing must separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is the question today. It has often been said, and with good reason, that when it comes to the Bible, a text without a context becomes simply a pretext or a presumption. In Romans 8:31, the question, if God is for us, who is against us, is preceded by the question, what then shall we say to these things? Thus, before we can accurately answer the question of our chapter, we must address what these things are that Paul mentions, right? So what we're saying is, before we can answer the question, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? We've got to answer the question that preceded it. What then shall we say to these things? The wonderful news just preceding Romans 8:28 to 30 is that we have a God who is watching over us and who is also at work for our good. Paul prefaced the question of verse 31 by saying, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified." And so we saw that was the pretext for the what we read first, right? So we were trying to remember that's Romans 8, 28 to 30. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, all things. And so then the Apostle Paul asked, after he said that little piece, he would ask the question, "What then shall we say to these things, to these amazing truths, the amazing truths of what we are going to look at?" And he answered with another question, right? He says, "What then? If God has called us and then justify us, you know, what then can we say to these amazing truths?" He asks a question, and then he answers with another question. "If God be for us, who can be against us?" The obvious answer: it doesn't matter who may be against us. When Almighty God himself is for us, for he is always at work watching over us and providing for us. Friends, we know we're weary now. We know what has happened, you know, at the White House. We know what has happened with the new tax bill, and how many people, even on where I live, in the area I live in, New York, are going to be in trouble because of the real estate taxes are capped. But tonight, today, I want to say to someone who's listening under my voice here this evening, if God be for you, trust me, no one can be against you, because God is always watching over us and God is always providing. And yes, we may have to suffer for a little while sometimes, but God is in control. God is watching over us. We find this wonderful truth wrapped in the package of one of the most quoted verses in all the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Folks love to quote that verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. I like to think of this as the secret of God's forever family. Here's how I'm going to break this down. This family's secret is confidential, right? We know, when Paul says, "For we know," it is that we who are believers in Christ and are followers of Christ, we know. If you're not a believer, you can't know, right? So this is why we say it's confidential. The lost world, those who are not believers and followers of Jesus Christ, has no concept that God is watching over us and working on our behalf. But as followers, you and me, we know. We do not wish or think or hope. We know that he is. We can confront those who don't believe. Those who says if they don't see it, they do not believe that there is no purpose in events that are happening in life. There are folks who says that there's no purpose in event. Things just happen. They don't believe. So we say, oh, there is definitely a purpose, but it's confidential. Only those who love God, who love him, can unlock this truth. It's a family secret. When we belong to the family of God, when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know. We know that all things work together for good for us, even when we're going through difficult times. We know. And another person who's not in the family don't know. They think we're kind of crazy because they don't understand we're in the midst of difficulty. We know. In the midst of tragedy, we know that God is still with us, right? The next point I want to make, our family secret is also constructive. That means, here's how I'm going to explain this. Paul said, things work together for good. Things work together for good. That means no matter what we're going through, it is constructive. We may not like it, we don't understand it, but it works together for good. When I look back over my life and I remember issues that came my way at that time and I thought were so detrimental, then I'll come back later to realize that they were working out, something was being worked out for my good. Now I clearly see that God allowed them for a greater purpose. In retrospect, I see that God indeed worked them together for my good to make me more like His Son, Jesus Christ. When I was going through them, I didn't care for them, I didn't like them, didn't understand them, but I began to learn and understand that God was working it out for my good. This truth about God's good work is also comprehensive. It's deep. It's not simple. It's comprehensive. Note that the verse says all things. He doesn't say some things. Can I believe this? Had Paul said some things or many things or even most things are working to my good, it would be more palatable. It'd be easier to believe, right? If Paul had said some things are working together for your good, you know, many things are working together for your good, most things would be easier to take, easier to swallow. But all things, yes, even unfair things, you know, like, for example, Joseph being held in an Egyptian jail. You remember that story? Difficult things, yes. Ask those early Jerusalem believers who had to leave their homes and jobs and were dispersed over the world, resulting in the spread of the gospel. All things, not necessarily each as an isolated event, but when woven together by God in the tapestry of the cross in our lives, work together for our good. All things work together for our good. It's like the tapestry, like a carpet being woven up of our lives, and the ups and downs will work together for our good. Finally, our family secret is conditional. It is given to those of us who are called according to His purpose. Is the purpose of God? Is that what we should desire? Yes. His will for our life is that is being accomplished in you and me. And so we should be cooperating, seeking to walk according to His guidance and living confidentially as a child of God, of a child of the King, of a child of God. So we would understand that all things work together for our good, no matter what the circumstance. The next major point is God is working for us. Paul continued with that. In essence, it's a chain of five strong and independent links. You know, if you take away any of the link in the chain, then it falls apart. The first link is the wisdom of God, for whom He foreknew. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, that means God knew us before. The Greek word means to know before, right? We get our word prognosis from this ancient word, to know before. That means God knew us before we were born, before we were in our mother's womb, as the psalmist says, right? This is one of the most intimate words in the Greek language. God has known every intricate detail of my life and of your life before any of those details unfolded. You could say, I can't understand all that. Well, neither can I. But I have decided that if I could, with my finite human mind, He would really not be a very big God. So I'm going to trust God that he knew me before I was woven into my mother's womb. Next follows the will of God. The will of God, that's the next link in the chain. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined. That's verse 29. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Right? Perhaps there is no word that causes others to bristle as much as the word predestined does. And it just might be one of the most misunderstood of all the words. It comes from two Greek words meaning before the horizon. In eternity past, God set out some boundaries before the horizon. Predestination doesn't have anything to do with people. It has everything to do with purposes. In the text, Paul indicated we are predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of his son, right? Election deals with people, but predestination deals with God's purposes, with his will for us. So when the scripture says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined, that means he predestined the purpose that he has for us to do, that we don't even know because he knew us before we were born, right? He foreknew us. So this is what Paul is saying. And firmly attached to this links of God's wisdom and his will is the way of God. Whom he predestined, these he also called. Verse 30. God issued a summons to us in two calls. The outward call we hear from the preacher or a teacher or an evangelist, or we read a challenging book. So we get the outward call to come to church to do good. But there's also the inward call from our God who's working for our benefit, speaking to our hearts, spirit to spirit. God is working. First, God foreknew us, then he predestines, and then he calls. So first he foreknows, then he predestines, and then he calls us. Next in the chain, after God's wisdom, will, and way, comes the work of God. Whom he called, these he also justified. Verse 30. The Greek word means to make pure and free. It is not our own works that justify us. Only the finished work of Christ on the cross makes us able to stand before our holy God. In an act of indescribable grace, God imputed to our account the righteousness of Christ. No court of law can justify. It may acquit or pardon, but only a righteous God can take only a righteous God can take someone guilty like me and justify me, treating me as if I have never sinned. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. The final link in this chain is about the worship of our great God. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Can you imagine God glorifying us? Romans 8:30. The verb tense in all of these links is amazing. It indicates an action in the past that has been completed. In other words, God speaks of our coming glorification as if it is already done. Justification means I have been saved from the penalty of sin by Jesus' death on the cross on my behalf. Sanctification means I'm being saved from the power of sin right now. And glorification means one day I will be saved from the very presence of sin because I will be with my Lord and Savior in heaven. God is watching over us and he's working for our good. No wonder Paul asks, if God be for us, who can be against us? Friends, if God is for us, who can be against us is the question. Since God is for us, stop at that fact and be amazed. The all-powerful, all-loving, always good, always wise God is on our side. Who can be against us? Who can be against you then? Nothing and no one can be against us. And so, friends, that Romans text gives us hope because we know that God knows what we're going through. Nothing. God is on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And so we can rest assured tonight. We can rest assured today that God is for us, that God will bring us through. No matter how difficult things look, God will bring us through. And so we give God thanks. Praise God. We give God thanks and praise this moment.
On my
Amen. Tell me, where would I be if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Where would I be? Where would you be? Where would I be if it had not been for the Lord on our side? If God is for us, then who can be against us? And so today we have to hold on to that truth, friend, the truth from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth from the word of God. If God be for us, then who can be against us? You're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. Oh, yes, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because we are trusting and depending on God to bring us through. We are trusting and depending on God to bring us through. And now this second part of this reflection I'm going to look at will be, it's titled, How Shall We Escape If We Neglect So Great a Salvation? Right? How can we escape? I know this is Christmas time and everybody's shopping and happy, but listen, salvation is for every day. Today is the day of our salvation. And so I'm telling you, you know, all the things we are buying to look lovely, I'm doing the same. You getting little gifts to wrap for friends and loved ones. We still have to take care of what? Of our soul. Because tomorrow is promised to no one. And so now I'm going to read from the book of Hebrew, New Testament book of Hebrew. And I believe I'm reading from chapter 2, just a few verses. And then I will get to my reflection on it. Oh, where would I be if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Oh, glory to God. So here it is from Hebrews 2, verses 1, 2. I think I'm going to maybe verses 5. Okay, then. Warning to pay attention. Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message declared through angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first through the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him, while God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So therefore, the writer is letting us know all of this was done because of God. And verse 5 said, now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angel, but someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Right? And so in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by grace of God he might taste death for everyone. That means salvation, I went to verse 9, salvation was given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it became a free gift for us. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This was a great salvation we received from God through Jesus Christ, right? Through Jesus' death and resurrection. And as I reflect now, you know, I would like to share that, you know, I am fortunate. I'm a little bit fortunate enough to own a small little home, you know, and I could get a little car. own little car. It's about, you know, it's not a big fancy car. It's a nice car. And I take it to the dealer, and I get his checkup every 6 months, get a checkup for oil and oil change and so on. And when my little house, if there's a little problem, I've been doing some work on it. And so there was a little leak from the rain, and I had to get the roof fixed. And so I'm doing maintenance on it to take care of it. So we take care of our stuff, don't we? Or we ought to, our cars, our houses, and so on. You know, I have a body, and every year in January, I go in for a complete physical examination. I don't always like what the doctor says. I have learned that when something goes wrong with my home or my car or my body, it generally does need to be taken care of. And when something goes wrong, it is because of one thing: neglect. Right? If I neglect to watch the sugar intake or the salt intake or whatever, then something goes wrong. If I don't get an oil change and all of that, then something goes wrong. You know, if a little preventative maintenance is good for the physical matters of life, how much more imperative is it for the spiritual matters? You see, we have to take care of the physical things, but we also have to take care of the spiritual matters, right? The writer of Hebrews asks a penetrating and probing question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2:3. The question is not addressed to those who flat out reject the salvation claims of Christ, but to those who, perhaps with good intention, simply procrastinate and neglect their spiritual health and well-being. You see, so this question is not for those who don't believe. It's for those of us who believe, but we neglect our spiritual health and well-being. It is closely akin to the question asked of us by our Lord in Mark 8:36. For what will it profit a man or woman, you know, if they shall gain the whole world and lose their own soul? How many times have we heard the worn out but true old adage, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. No, we know that this is a great salvation given to us. So my first point here is a great provision. At issue here is salvation and whether we will spend eternity with God or apart from Him. God has provided forgiveness and salvation to whosoever will come to Him in repentance and faith. God has provided it in repentance and faith. And so we know that. It is the free gift of eternal life. It is of little wonder then that the writer uses two qualifying words when speaking of this salvation. First, he describes it as great, but there is more. He speaks of it as so great a salvation. So great a salvation. He speaks of it as that. Our salvation is so great because of its origin. It is great because of the great love that made our salvation possible in the first place. Paul wrote that we who were dead in our sin have been saved because of God's great love with which He loved us. Ephesians 2:4. Our salvation is also great because God's great love not only prompted it, but He also provided it for us. God's great love is always accompanied by His great mercy. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. Psalm 103:11. Our salvation is not only great because of its origin, but also because of its outcome. Our salvation is accompanied by great blessings of love, joy, peace, and so much more. Our gracious God has made a great provision for us. for and so great a salvation. He has made a great provision for us. Now, a great peril, my next point. While salvation is a great provision, it comes with a great and potential peril. We will either escape or encounter that peril depending on our response to God's call. I want to say that again. We will either escape or encounter that peril depending on our response to God's call, God's gift. How shall we escape it if we neglect so great a salvation is the question. There are three words that describe the response of every person toward the gospel. Reject, accept, or neglect. Three words. Reject, accept, or neglect. Some individuals have flat out rejected the gospel message. They have consciously and deliberately refused the gift of eternal life. Right? They have just refused the gift of eternal life. And you know that happens all the time. I have personally spoken to many people along life's pathway who have rejected the message of salvation and said no to the claims of Christ. Other people have accepted the free gift of eternal life offered them through Jesus Christ our Lord. They have heard the gospel message, believed it, received it by faith, repented of their sins, and trusted in his finished work to save them. Though undeserving, I thank God each morning that I am counted among these, those who have accepted. Finally, some individuals see themselves in a sort of spiritual no man's land. They have neither rejected the gospel nor have they accepted it. They are among the vast throng who have neglected the divine offer of salvation. They have simply put off the decision for the present. They are deceived into thinking there will always be adequate time to name Jesus as their Savior and Lord before they die. The writer of Hebrews warned that our hearts can become hardened. Hebrews 3:8. The Apostle Paul added that those who continue to neglect Jesus' invitation to eternal life can become past feeling. Ephesians 4:19. The Greek word found here is the same from which we derive our English word callous. I have a callous on my hand and that has become so hardened and I could stick a pin into it and not even feel the pain. The skin is past feeling. That means it's past feeling anything. And this kind of callous can appear on a human heart that continues to neglect the call of the gospel. Every time God calls us to decide and we postpone our decision, the callous on our heart gets a bit thicker. As he continues to call us unto himself and we continue to neglect the call, our hearts can become so hardened that, like the callous on my hand, there comes a time when we no longer can sense him. We are past feeling. When this happens, it doesn't mean he no longer is knocking on our hearts, but it does mean we will no longer be aware. The hardened heart is a great peril of neglect. No wonder the writer of Hebrews asks, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2:3. Perhaps there is someone listening to my words at this very moment who would never put off paying their bills or running their businesses or studying for a class. Somehow, tragically, some think it is different with the spiritual matters of the soul. Hell is full of people who had good intentions and one day and good intentions of one day seriously considering and accepting Jesus' invitation, but they never learned to get around to making spiritual matters a priority. God offers you and me salvation, and not just salvation, but great salvation, and not just great salvation, but so great a salvation. How shall we accept? If we neglect it, why should we neglect it? And so the question is again, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2:3. I hope you're not neglecting. There is no escape from eternal separation from God. If we neglect the salvation Jesus offers us, only three roads lie before us. You can take the road less traveled and accept the gospel. You can take the road some travel and flat out reject it. Or tragically, you can continue down the road and neglect the gospel to your own eternal peril. If so, what will it profit you, even if you gain the whole world, to lose your own soul in the end? Remember, not to decide is to decide. Call on God right now. Say with Simon Peter, Lord, save me. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Oh, glory to God. Romans 10:13. Just remember now, do not neglect God. Do not reject God. He's calling on you. He's calling on you and me today, not to reject, but to listen and to heed to his call. We want to be, you must be saved. I'm praying and seeking God's face for those who are listening under the sound of my voice who do not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of their sin. And I want to play a little bit again from If It Had Not Been for the Lord on My Side, Where Would I Be? Where would I be? And so we just keep asking God, God, have mercy upon us. Please, God, have mercy. That God will continue to hear from heaven. There's so many folks out there who need to hear from God, who need to hear from God, who need to listen, that God has been calling them and they don't listen. And so we want to make sure that we trust God in all things, and we trust God and know that God is for us, right? And so now, you know, we just want to play another song here to touch your heart and to, that you could continue to seek God's face and know that God dearly loves you. Friends, that God dearly loves you, and that continues to want to be here, want you to be with him in eternity. God wants you to be with him in eternity. And so you have to say yes to the Lord. Say yes tonight to the Lord, because this day to the Lord, because God truly cares and God truly loves you. But praise God. Praise the Lord, friends.
Andre, come to the piano. Andre Crouch.
Praise God, as we hear a little bit of Andre Crouch singing, "To God Be the Glory," for the great things God has done. So we just want to just keep listening. Praise God. Oh yes, friends, you've been listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. Until next time, may God bless you.